This is Joe Basso with Music Radar, and I'm speaking with Kerry King, guitarist of Slayer. Kerry, how you doing?
Good, man.
Fantastic. Well, you are on Rockstar Energy Mayhem Festival.
Yeah, whatever the hell it's called.
it's a long name. I forget it myself.
Yeah, I'm on Mayhem.
How's it been going so far?
Good.
The crowd's been good. Vibe's been good.
Yeah. Actually, first four shows, if I'm not mistaken, I think it might have been all of them, but I haven't kept track. But we're supposedly outselling what they did last year, so that's good in a lousy economy.
Yeah, man, that's a nice thing. Well, Slayer has a record coming out later this year called World Painted Blood, and I've heard you describe it as kind of having an 80s vibe to it. Can you elaborate on what you mean by that?
I don't know. Just the feel, you know, when it started to come together, and it wasn't just a handful of songs. It became like 10 songs, 11 songs. Just the overall vibe about it just seems kind of retro, and I think the only thing I can attribute that to is the way we put it together. We put it together very quickly, so we didn't have time to sit at home and streamline it, you know. We had a window of time that we had to work with Greg Fiddleman, so we really couldn't jerk off, you know, like we usually do, and we just went in and really, like, crammed for the exam, but made up songs, you know what I mean?
From what I understand, you basically wrote the album in the studio, which is
some of it, yeah.
Which is kind of a first for you guys.
I mean, it's not unusual for us to make up lyrics in the studio, but usually 95% of the music's done. Or this time, I know we worked on at least two of Jeff's in the recording studio, and I know we worked on at least two and a half of mine in the studio.
Whose idea was it? Did someone just say, hey, let's shake this up a little bit and do it a little differently?
Well, it was just all according to a time frame we were kind of locked into.
Now, how does that make your writing your solos? Are they more spontaneous?
Solos, believe it or not, are always probably the last on my list of things to do, because a song's not a song without lyrics, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really concentrate on doing lyrics. If I'm just running into a wall, then maybe I might switch gears and work on a lead. But this one, for recording, you know, I rarely saw Jeff, because either I was in the studio doing leads and showing Tom how my lyrics went, or I was at the hotel working on new stuff while Jeff was doing the same thing. So
right.
We kind of round-robined it.
So you didn't write everything in the studio. You were working on demos on your own. And
yeah, well, if I'm going to be working on lyrics and stuff we got happening, I'm going to be locked in my room with nothing going on, you know, trying to concentrate on what I'm trying to accomplish.
How do you actually demo? You personally,
Dude, I still use a Radio Shack tape player just to keep ideas, you know, and then either I'll play it for Dave or I'll play the guitar live and, you know, give him an idea of what I've got in mind for drums.
Okay, so you don't use GarageBand or anything like that?
I don't know how to do any of that. That's probably a good thing, because I'd get sidetracked, and I wish I had a program that just had, you know, all the drum beats we've ever used, and I can go that one, and then play guitar over, and it'd be a lot easier, I guess, but I do it the same way I did in, you know, the early 80s.
I have not heard this record at all, so I'm going to ask you to try to describe it for me. What, to you, makes this record different from previous releases?
Recently, Jeff was more involved, which makes for a more rounded record, I think. You
mm-hmm.
know? Of course, I like to write music and have my stuff on the record, but I think it makes a more complete album if, you know, all of us contribute to it. And I did 6 this time, and Jeff did 7, to where, like, the last two, I wrote most of it. And I like those albums, but I think is Slayer as an entity, it's better when, you know, we collaborate, or, you know, it's not just me doing the majority of the stuff. I think it gives, you know, more perspective when everybody else gets involved as well.
When I talk to various people in metal bands, they always like to say, oh, it's the heaviest thing we've ever done. Oh, it's heavier than any record ever. When you guys go into the studio, do you try to out-heavy yourself?
No, I mean, there's really no point, because we've always been heavy and it's never been an issue. You know, people aren't going to say, is it going to be heavier? I mean, there's really, what are you going to do? I mean, in my opinion, we're about as heavy as you can get, and there's no, I don't see any room for improvement. I don't see any room for changing the formula, you know what I mean?
It's kind of a Spinal Tap thing. How much more black can you get? You know, how much more
yeah,
heavy?
You know, it's the hardest thing for me anymore is figuring out how to say the same thing differently.
And how do you do that?
I don't know. It just works.
Okay, you have your old school cassette recorder. Do you sit and work on riffs over and over, and you go, no, that sounds like that one. No, no, that sounds like...
Well, that was my big concern about doing this record in such a condensed amount of time is things sounding the same.
Mm-hmm.
Or titles being similar or verses being similar in different songs. So that's the only thing I really paid attention to. And I don't think anything sounds like anything on this record. I think they're all individual entities musically. So that worked out good.
You, of course, have your own line of BC Rich signature model
guitars. I got my
guitars.
Own line of just about everything. And the cool thing is, you know, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but it's not just putting my name on a product. Everything that's had my name on it is stuff I actually use.
But in the studio, do you use any other guitars?
In the studio, I only use BC, yeah.
How about amps? What do you use in amp-wise?
I got a signature Marshall. I used a variety of stuff because my producer likes to have a variety of sounds and have them all come together as one. So I know I used my signature. I know I used what they call the Beast, which is what my signature is based on,
right,
which is one of my heads. And a couple other things that Greg had that he just flew in there for color. I don't even know what it was. There's so many heads in there, I don't know what we ended up actually using besides my two.
Before we get to reader questions, I literally just read something in a magazine that you guys threw the band Killswitch Engage off of one of your tours. But they're actually on this Mayhem Fest.
Well, we actually didn't get able to. I tried.
Oh.
Because I'd never seen them live, and I saw them live at some, I don't know, maybe a Kerrang Awards or something over in Europe.
Yeah.
And I'm just offended by the silliness that goes on stage, on the stage left guitar player, you know, and he puts his foot in his mouth all the time, and he says stupid shit. And I just didn't think that sideshow should be on my stage.
Ah.
So I pulled the plug on the spot. But on that particular Jägermeister tour, we didn't have a new product, and they did. So Jäger kind of insisted, and I went, they're all friends of mine. So I said, okay, well, you know, well, I'll deal with it. Still don't like him.
Okay, Carrie, we have some reader questions. And the good news is you're pretty popular. So we're going to try to get through as many of these as we can. The first question comes from Vorax, who asks, if Slayer ended tomorrow, who would be your first choices to form a metal supergroup?
I do have a lot of friends. That's tough, man, because some of my best friends are dead. You know, of course, Dimebag would have been my first choice. But
yeah.
We were going to play anyway. We had a plan. I called him once and said, you know, I got this song you and I got to do. It's just us. He's like, what is it, King? And I said, we got to do Snorting Whiskey and Drinking Cocaine by Pat Travers. And we were going to do it. We were going to do it right when the Damage Plan album came out. But he had a lot of press going on that day. And, you know, he was trying to squeeze me in. I'm like, dude, let's not rush it. Let's take our time and do it good. You know, we got plenty of time. And we didn't.
Oh, boy.
But today, man, it's tough. Still, I got so many friends. I'd have to go with Zach Wild because he was the third of the Trinity. It was like me, Dime, and Zach were always hanging out and drinking. We were like the drunk guitar players that everybody kind of hangs out with. So Zach would definitely be high up on my list. I'd definitely keep Dave around because there's really no better drummer I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I'd consider working with Flynn from Machine Head, and I would consider working with Corey Taylor from Slipknot because those are my two favorite singers outside of my band.
A reader named Downfader wants to know, have you ever been busking?
What?
Have you ever been busking?
What the hell is that?
That's when guitar players stand on the street corner and play the guitar and sing for money.
Now, I know Dime used to do that, because I've seen it on the video, but I haven't.
Okay. A reader named Solo Noob wants to know, do you think modern metal is as good as it was back in the 80s?
It's hard to say, because in the 80s you got some of the originators like Maiden, Priest, Sabbath, you know, they were still doing good stuff, and the new guys, you know, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, Metallica, so it was a good time. Now, I mean, you still have all those that I said, but, you know, Sabbath and Priest and Maiden, I mean, they're older than us, so you're kind of, they're on their swan song, I would imagine, and we're kind of where they were at that point in the 80s, and now there's new bands, you know, coming up, not beneath us, but, you know, they're on a smaller level, so I don't know. It's kind of a toss, I think, you know. I think they're both good.
You use the term old, and I'm not saying you guys are old, but your singer Tom has alluded to the fact that he can't see himself doing this on stage at the age of 50. Do you think he's going
to... Well, I think we all said I didn't see... I think we pretty much all said when we were 30, we didn't see us doing it at 40 either.
Okay.
It's funny, you know, because I see my heroes play. Like, I saw Heaven and Hell a number of times over the last couple of years, and fucking Dio kills it. He just kills it. He sounds like the record. And I got to say, you know, they don't move around and they're not physical like we are, but they can continue forever because that's how Sabbath has been. They're just, you know, they're just fixtures in their area. There's not a whole lot of physicality going on. And I think when it's time for us to hang it up, it will be the physicality that's the thing, you know, because I don't want to, like, not thrash around on stage because that's been part of Slayer since the beginning, you know, and if you take that away, part of the event, part of the mystique goes with it.
So no danger of that happening at the age of 50 then, right?
Well, not for me. You know, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for everybody else. And it's not something we sit around and, you know, around the campfire and go, hey, let's plan this out.
Okay.
I'm in. I feel good. I'm having a good time, and I think everybody else is too.
A reader named Elvis2 actually has two very interesting questions. He wants to know, apart from metal, what other styles of music do you like?
Not much. I mean, that's my pastime, really.
Uh-huh. No weird quirks there in your CD collection?
Of course there are, you know. We all grew up in the 70s.
All right.
Well, not all of us, but I did.
Okay, well, come on, give me something.
There's nothing bizarre. I mean, I like Boston, I like the Eagles, but, I mean, if I'm playing anything, chances are it's going to be Arch Enemy or In Flames or Priest, you know.
Okay. His other question is, any chance Slayer will ever release an unplugged album?
No. I can guarantee it. I wouldn't be a part of it.
The Dude 5 wants to know, he says, I loved your solo in Fight for Your Right to Party by the Beastie Boys. If you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently on it?
Make up a good solo.
Oh, come on, it's a good solo.
I just kind of went in there and winged it.
Yeah.
But that's what they wanted. It was kind of a, you know, ridiculous metal song. They wanted a ridiculous lead, so I made this completely out-of-key thing up. I didn't even care what was going on behind it. I just riffed over it.
A reader named Jack Krim says, I hear that you're a snake breeder. If you were to be attacked by a snake, which one would you like it to be?
I want it to be any of them. I made a rule years ago to keep nothing poisonous because of my hands, obviously. But actually, I was just in Kansas City, and I went to a buddy of mine, a breeder out in Kansas City's place, saw a bunch of stuff yesterday. So it's one of the cool perks of my job. I have so many friends in the biz, in the reptile biz, that live across the country, and even in Europe, I've been to places over there. So I get to go see a lot of stuff.
Freeman999 wants to know, which one of Jeff Hanneman's riffs do you wish that you'd written yourself?
Probably anything in Raining Blood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that song's really fun to play.
So you're a big fan of his work on that one?
Yeah, you know, I always, like, I warm up on that song a lot, and it's always in the set. I like all the riffs in that probably better than Angel of Death, and a lot of people shoot me in the face for saying that, but that's how I roll.
Darren Godzilla wants to know, how come you started using 7-string guitars?
It's kind of a cool addition. I don't use it in the way that he's probably alluding to. You know, if that's a derogatory question, I don't use it in the way the new metalers do. I try to just make it a heavier version of what Slayer does. So I don't think anybody should turn their back on a new thing just because a particular genre or movement of music kind of exploits it in the wrong way. Because holding a 7-string, holding a drop B-tune guitar, you'll make up riffs you would never make up on a standard tune 6-string because they just sound different.
Right.
You know, so if you're just riffing on a 7-string or a drop B kind of situation, the ideas are just different than they would be if you were just playing conventional 6.
Soulman 6 wants to know if you've made up with Rick Rubin. He's alluding to, I guess, a comment you made where you were angry that Rick was spending so much time on Metallica's last record and not on your record.
Oh, we never had a fight about it.
But there was some tension there?
I tell you the truth, I couldn't tell you the last time I saw Rick Rubin. It's probably been over 10 years.
Oh, my God.
I never see him.
Okay. Bottomless wants to know, have you ever seen a band heavier than you?
Well, that's a loaded question. Of course I'm going to say no. But before we were what we were, I was a big Venom fan, and I thought they could do no wrong back then. It was just evil and fast and scary and, you know, you might look at them now and get a chuckle, but at one point, they were the real deal.
The Doom wants to know, if you had to be in a non-heavy metal band, which one would you choose?
I wouldn't.
Well, now, you just said you like the Eagles. They're in your CD collection.
That don't mean I want to be in them.
So, metal or die, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Kerry, thank you very much for spending all this time with me. It's been great.
Cool, man.
The upcoming record is called World Painted Blood, and I've been speaking with Kerry King. Kerry, again, thank you very much.
Cool, brother.
All right, you take care.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.